It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Mack.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. The draft is just 2 days away. Tomorrow night at Radio City Music Hall, I will be there live. We're going to do a little live chat with you guys tomorrow night as well. Should be a lot of fun. And of course, we'll be back with you with Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And we bring in Lance Meadow today. We're trying to have a get a little regular season feel for the show today, Mr. Meadow.
The band is back together.
Yes, it's good times.
Yes, absolutely. And you are all giddy and excited, not just because of the NFL draft, but we should also mention a big win for your New York Knickerbockers last night. So John's been tweeting well into the morning hours here.
Correct.
Very excited. The 2-0 series
pumped.
Lead. First time since 2000. It's been a very long time since John has smiled.
It actually has been, and it's weird. You know, when's the last time you watched the Knicks play in a playoff series and you get the feeling, after watching the first two games, where they are by no doubt the better team in the series? And that's the feeling you get watching those first two games.
So that's what happens when you get the Boston Celtics in round.
And when you're the 2 seed, which is something the Knicks have not been in quite a while. But obviously New York worried about the NBA playoffs, but also focused on the NFL draft. The Jets making some noise now of 2 first-round picks. We'll see what they do with them if they decide to go with the quarterback. But I think the Giants selection is really more interesting because to me, Lance, where the Giants sit at number 19, and I believe it was Todd McShay, or was it Mayock? I think it was McShay on ESPN.com that had his draft tiers. And he has about 15 players or 16 players with 95 grades or above. And to me, that is the true first-round top tiers of this draft. And I think if one of those 15 guys, and it's possible one of them will, drop to the Giants at number 19, they'll make a pick there. But if they don't, I think the Giants will find themselves in a situation where they have to decide if they want to pick a player that they think is going to be good, or if they can find a partner to maybe trade down a little bit, get an extra pick, and get a player of similar value a little bit later in that first round, or maybe even early in that second round. I do think the Giants are in a bit of a no man's land here, where you're probably not going to have, unless somebody drops, a standout player at 19 was going to be, wow, he's by far the best player on the board. This is a no-brainer. We're going to pick this guy.
And you also need to take into consideration, John, there are some teams picking right before the Giants, to me, that have somewhat similar needs.
Very similar.
I mean,
especially
the Cowboys,
Dallas,
for example, who are right in front of the Giants, they need help on the offensive line. They could use some help on the defensive line and also even at the linebacker position.
And in the secondary.
So the Giants may be looking at their board and saying, wow, this guy's going to drop to us, or we're going to be in a prime position at number 19. Dallas comes in at 18, your division rival, and may take the one guy you're looking for off the board. So that's what the Giants are going to have to closely monitor throughout the course of the first round.
And you could definitely see that, especially with the offensive linemen. If you have one of those two guards, either Warmack or Cooper, dropping down to 18, which most people don't think is going to happen, but considering the history of where guards go in the draft, I do think it's possible that one of those guards could get down there to 18. The problem the Giants are going to have is that guard is not going to get past the Cowboys at 18. Their offensive line is in worse shambles than the Giants' one is, and the Giants have a starter at each position here. They're not desperate for a player. They would like to get younger, like to improve, but not desperate. The Cowboys, if one of those guards are there, are going to take a guard at 18. They could even take DJ Fluker at 18, if he's there, another guy that the Giants reportedly are interested in. And it makes sense being a fit to play at right tackle with the Giants, you know, trying to develop James Brewer there, David Deal on, you know, the other side of 30. So it's going to be very tough for the Giants to get that offensive lineman that they need at number 19, unless two guys drop to number 18 when Dallas picks.
That's why the Giants are just going to have to see what happens over the course of the first few picks to determine is there going to be a run on offensive linemen, and they may then say to themselves, you know what, maybe we can fall back to the second or third round and wait for a guy to come to us, and we'll just add some depth. Because as you mentioned, there are needs for this Giants team, but it's not as if you look at the roster right now and say to yourself, if you're a Giants fan or a Giants member of the front office, we need a guy to come in tomorrow that needs to start from day one and play all 16 games. I don't know necessarily if the Giants are in that position. Do they need some help? Do they need some depth? Absolutely. But do they have a middle linebacker right now that could start week one? Yes. Do they have five offensive linemen that they could put out there in week one? Yes. So that's why they're not in dire need, but you want to have the ability to groom some guys down the road, and God forbid there's another injury, which the Giants have had to deal with over the course of the last couple of years. You can turn to somebody that has experience and promise that they're going to help bring to the NFL player over the next couple of months through training camp.
And that is why I think the offseason work by Jerry Reese was so important. The Giants did fill a number of holes and shore up some deficiencies on the roster that will give them a little bit more freedom here with this first-round pick. And look, the Giants always say they pick the best player available, and need only enters into the equation when there's a tiebreaker situation with two guys with identical grades. And could that be, once again, the situation this year? Sure. But there are times when you have such a glaring need on your roster and there's no one out there to fill that need in free agency where you feel extra pressure to try to take somebody at that particular position. It happens to every team. It simply is too tempting, and that might sway your thinking just a little bit. But this year, I really don't think the Giants have to worry about that. Besides a quarterback and probably a wide receiver, the Giants can take the best player available at number 19 and be fine with whomever they get.
And there's a lot of depth if you look at this draft class, mm-hmm. I would say on the defensive side of things. So they can wait on a linebacker. They can wait perhaps on a defensive lineman and get a promising guy who, you know, maybe you didn't think was going to fall to you in even the third or the fourth round and become an impact player overnight. That's the type of draft I see with this. After the run of offensive linemen, I think teams are going to go for the best athlete this year as opposed to going for just a guy that we know can fill a hole or fill a void.
I forget who tweeted it yesterday, but a reporter quoted an anonymous NFL general manager and said there are only 13 to 15 true first-round talents in this draft. And, you know, true or not, I'm not sure. These guys are talent evaluators. I'm not. But what the universal feeling is that the draft is fairly deep, which means in the second round and maybe even in the third round, if you pick early enough, you can find guys that can maybe start or at least at the very least contribute in sub-packages this year, which is why I think for teams in the spot like the Giants are around 19 in the early 20s, if they can find the partner, trading down to me would not be a bad idea, because I think you can get a very similar player at 29 or 30 that you can get at 19 in this draft.
It all depends on what other teams' needs are and whether or not they want to sacrifice some additional picks. Remember, there's a lot of teams coming into this draft, John, that have not just one or two picks. Some have 11, some have 15.
49ers.
They have stocked up tremendously because of other offseason moves that they've made and other trades that have transpired over the last couple of seasons. So it really depends on whether a team finds that they can move up and have enough draft picks that they're willing to sacrifice to switch positions with the Giants.
And what teams value, and we'll get to your calls in just a second, at 201-939-4513, also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. What teams value and what motivates them to trade up, generally speaking, is getting that skill position guy that they think is going to make a difference. And this year, just because of the way the talent falls, you might not have a quarterback go early in the first round. You might not have a running back go in the first round at all. You might only have one wide receiver, Tavon Austin, going round number one. So if you have teams targeting these running back, quarterbacks, and wide receivers that are expected to go at the start of the second round or very late in the first round, I think you do have an opportunity in finding a trade partner that might say, look, Eddie Lacy might not be a top 10 pick, but I think he's a starting running back. I think teams are undervaluing him. I want to jump ahead of these teams that are picking 25th and 24th because I want Eddie Lacy. I want Cordarrelle Patterson. I want Ryan Nassib. I want one of these guys. So I'm going to trade up to the Giants at 19, give up my third-round pick or maybe a late second-round pick, and I want to get the skill position guy. So I do think there could be an opportunity, you know, for a team like the Bills, like the Jets, who maybe don't want to use one of their early first-round picks on a quarterback, but they like Nassib, they like Glennon, they like, you know, whomever you want to talk about, Geno Smith, if he's still there. That could be an opportunity for them to trade up and get that skill position.
Well, it's funny you brought up the Bills because they do have tremendous interest in Nassib because he's the Syracuse quarterback, the connection to Doug Marrone and their new offensive coordinator. However, there's rumors that the Jets may have some interest, and now the Jets have two first-round picks. The Bills pick right in front of their first pick. So do the Bills want to reach for the quarterback there, or do they want to take a chance? Absolutely a reach. Given the fact that he skyrocketed up the charts all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's a joke. This is not a top 10. There's a reason why these teams are drafting in the top 10. Because their front office has generally made a lot of mistakes over the past 10 years. And that was a great quote. I forget who had it in one of their articles the other day. You know, people are predicting all these offensive linemen that go early because they're the best player available. And then he goes, there's a reason these teams are picking in the top 10 every year. It's because they don't make good picks, and they reach, and they try to pick a need instead of picking the best player on the board. So teams make mistakes, and it's going to happen this year. It happens every year where, you know, the Raiders pick Darius Heyward-Bey, and Akeem Nicks is still on the board. You can go through the list top to bottom, Jamarcus Russell, whatever.
The Raiders have gotten rid of just about every one of their previous first-round picks.
Well, on the McClain, too.
There's another one.
Yes, who got arrested again, clearly trying to make a good impression on all those NFL teams that might want his services. But look, teams make mistakes, and teams like the Giants are the ones that take advantage of it and pounce on it.
And the other point I want to bring up before we do get to your phone calls and you continue to chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants chat, you brought up the running back situation. And I'm not saying that the Giants are in a position where they need a running back, although they may look to add some depth given the fact that Ahmad Bradshaw is no longer the picture and David Wilson is still relatively young. But you mentioned Lacy out of Alabama. Look at Alfred Morris last year, John. Sixth round, became a star for the Washington Redskins. I think a lot of teams are saying to themselves right now, we can get a running back in the latter stages of this draft and maybe won't duplicate the production in year one of an Alfred Morris, but could still be an impact player. And that's why I don't think you're going to see a run on that type of position. So if you want a running back and that's your biggest need, those are the type of teams that I think are going to be willing to trade back or trade down.
201-939-4513. Twitter, hashtag Giants chat. Already seen some of your tweets. We'll get to them in just a bit. But let's go to our phones and start out with Shakes down in Maryland. Shakes, what's happening, pal?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Shakes?
Not much, man. Anxious about this draft, man. Can't wait.
It's exciting.
I can't wait. Yeah, it is. It really is. I wanted to ask y'all, if y'all was in Jerry Reese's shoes and we took care of the linebackers and the offensive linemen in the first and second round, in the third round, would y'all gamble on Tyrone Mathieu?
Boy, you know what? If he's the best corner on the board in terms of ability to play football, I would be willing to roll the dice in round number three. In my opinion, I think once you get to round three, that's a guy you can roll the dice on and take your chances. But frankly, I don't know how the Giants have him graded out. He hasn't been in football for almost, you know, more than a year now. So I'd worry about a guy like that. Look, the Giants rolled the dice on a guy like Marvin Austin, who didn't play football for a full season before he got into the NFL, and he can never get back into football shape and be a factor. So I think there is a danger level there, but if the Giants do have a high enough grade on him, I think the third round is where that sweet spot is. Some people talking about round two, I think that's too high. You can't roll the dice and take that big of a risk in round two.
Yeah, I think that is a big risk in round two, but round three, I would like him. I would love him. I think he's one of the best corners in the draft, to me, my opinion.
Shakes, it also depends on what other corners are available, let's say, in the third round. You know, there is some depth at that position. It depends if somebody else falls who has not been out of football as long as a guy like Mathieu. And you also need to take into consideration some of the off-the-field issues. I'm not saying that he has gotten into trouble recently, but I was reading that he had skipped a couple of meetings with other interested teams over the last couple of weeks. I think he was battling an illness. But, you know, some of those things sometimes become red flags.
Red flag.
And that's the thing something that he's going to have to overcome once he's drafted and once he gets back into football shape. Can he stay focused on football?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, Shakes. Thanks a lot.
All right,
man.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy. People love Tyron Matheau. And by the way, it shouldn't be Matthew. It should be like Matteau or something
were
like
you renaming
that.
Renaming the guy?
Well, it's clearly a French name.
Correct.
That's not Matthew. It should be Matteau.
Well, if he comes to the Giants, you will have a one-on-one interview set up. Fans, get ready. Giants.com, front page. It'll be maybe the insider.
It could be a Giants insider,
there you go.
Yes.
We'll have a sponsor. And the first question, before we even get to the X's and O's, will be, what's up with the last name? And what is the rationale behind the pronunciation?
Well, no, I'm going to ask him if is that really the correct way to pronounce your last name? Or was it something that you decided to do because you thought it was, you know, maybe your family decided to do because you thought it was easier for people to pronounce and say, which is possible. And if that's the explanation, I'll buy that.
Well, what about the first name? I'm surprised you don't have any beef with that. Do you know how many different ways his first name has been pronounced over the course of his college career?
Tyron seems right, though. Tyron.
Tyran. I've heard it every which way. Honestly, and he's even done interviews where they'll come out and ask him, how do you pronounce his first name? And then
they'll
butcher it later on in the interview. It's a very entertaining young man to get a hold of.
201-939-4513. Our good buddy, Jeff, is in Rhode Island. Jeff, haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on, pal?
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff.
Good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to get into who the Giants are going to draft because that's anybody's best guess. But my only comment would be this, and I really believe that Jerry Reese must do a better job in rounds 2, 3, and 4 in this draft. I just think he really has the I'm really hoping he nails it, let's put it that way. So what do you guys think?
Well, they got Reuben Randall last year in round 2, Jeff, and clearly it took some time for him to show his potential, but I think we got at least a glimpse of it in the last couple of games, and now that Dominic Hixon is no longer in the picture, perhaps this could be a breakout campaign for a guy like Randall. It's very hard to judge 2 through 4 in terms of the selections, at least after year 1. And I know you're looking back at the last couple of years, but I'd like to see this year what those picks from last year are able to do. And then we can maybe reflect and step back and say, you know, this turned out to be a steal here, or this guy still needs to show us what he can do.
Right. Yeah, I'm just looking at the longer-term picture, but it would be nice to hit on a couple of those big times. So, anyways, I'm really anxious as to what they're going to do, and I'll be tuning in tomorrow and Friday. So you guys have a good day now.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks so
much. Appreciate it. And, you know, it's funny. Jerry Reese made the point during his press conference that that's where GMs really make their money. You know, first-round picks are easy. You can still miss on them, sure, but odds are you're going to get a talented guy in the first round. Maybe he'll get hurt, doesn't work out, whatever. But where the GM makes his money is in those third, fourth, and fifth-round picks where you try to mince through all the available guys and find the gems that can really help you. And the Giants have had some luck and some luck and some bad luck over the course of the years. I mean, Lance, I'm going back to 2006 now, okay? In 2006, the Giants' second and third round picks were busts. Sonoris Moss and Jairus Wilkinson. But Barry Colfield in round 4 ended up working out. So that's a win. In 2007, Steve Smith was an excellent second round pick until he hurt his knee. Jay Alford didn't work out in 3. Zach Diassi, you know, no one's picking a long snapper in round 4. So as a linebacker, that didn't exactly work out. And then Kevin Boston in round 5, you know, if not for those concussion problems, ended up being a good pick. In 2008, Jonathan Goff was becoming a player until he tore up his knee. Boy, Jerry Reese has had a lot of bad injury luck. He really has.
Well, the team as a whole.
Kenny Phillips and Terrell Thomas with their knee injuries in 2008. Mario Manningham tore up his knee this year in San Francisco. And then you go to 2009, Sintem in the second round did not work out well. Beattie worked, Barden and Beckham
in
round 3 did not.
You can't just pass over Ramsey's Barden, John.
I just did.
I mean, you can't just skip over it like it's nothing. I mean, we should spend about 5 minutes reviewing that third round pick.
Well, I don't know why he didn't start last year. He should have been starting all year long. I mean, you just throw it up to him in the end zone, and he'll come down with it every time. Why didn't they do that? I don't understand. It's so simple. You can't teach height, Lance. You just throw it to him on the fade out every play, and it'll work. Nobody will adjust their defense to it. He's tall. No tall receiver has ever failed in the NFL. You didn't hear this?
No, that's
fantastic.
Rule number one in the NFL playbook. I just love the fact that I mentioned Ramsey's Barden, and it does not even take you a second to get all worked up. I am truly going to miss these in-depth conversations this coming season.
Well, I'm sure Giant fans will find a new player that they can irritate me about.
We're going to have to start running a poll over the next couple of weeks. We need to find a replacement for Ramsey's Barden. But let's continue going over the 2 through 4 selections in the last couple of years.
Jump up to 2010. Linville Joseph obviously worked out very well. Chad Jones,
another injury.
Non-football injury. Nothing you can do about that. The rest of that draft, though, Dillard in 4, Petras 5, Adrian Tracy 6. We'll see about
Tracy
Adrian.
Tracy at 6 could become something.
We'll see.
Know.
He better do it this year, though. The waiting game's over for Adrian Tracy. So, in 2011, Marvin Austin in the second round has not worked out. Jarrell Jernigan in the third round so far has not worked out. James Brewer, they hope he can step up and do something this year. Greg Jones in 2011, not work out. And then last year, Reuben Randle and Jaron Holsley to me seem like players in second and third rounds. And we'll see about Adrian Robinson. They picked him in the fourth round knowing he was going to be a development guy.
Marcus Kuhn in the seventh round.
Great point.
And I'll throw out Mosley and McCants just because they give you depth at the offensive line. And who knows? Are they going to become big-time playmakers on this O-line? I think it's way too premature because last year was a huge developmental year, and this could very well be another developmental year. I think the big guy to circle on the depth chart, John, and I think you would agree, is Brewer, regardless of where they go in the draft. This is a make-it-or-break-it year for James Brewer because of some of the holes and some of the depth needs that they have on the O-line.
No question about it, and I should also point out the sixth round pick in 2011 was a gem in Jaquan Williams.
Right.
And it looks like he's going to be likely a starter this year, a linebacker, depending on who else the Giants decide to bring in.
You know, it's funny. You look over the last couple of drafts for the Giants, you can make the argument they've done better at 6 and 7 in terms of having better luck than maybe 2 through 4. And sometimes it's hard to get an impact player at 6 and 7 because, you know, there's not much talent left at that point.
Here's a nugget for you. From the 2006 draft through the 2008 draft, don't look at them. How many players in those drafts are still on the Giants roster?
In total.
2006 to 2008, 3 years worth of drafts. How many of those players are still on the roster?
I'm going to say 10.
You would be very incorrect.
Really? That
2006, one player, Matthias Kiwanuka. 2007, two players, Aaron Ross, who just returned, and Zach Diassi. And there is not one player. Well, Terrell Thomas came back this year. So one player from 2008, four. And throw in 2009, if Barden and Beckham don't come back, all you're looking at is two. Andre Brown. And, of course, Akeem Nicks.
And Will Beattie, too, is in that group.
And Will Beattie, of course, yes.
Look at how the number is increasing slowly as we add another year to the class.
No, I counted Akeem Nicks before.
Well, you left out Will Beattie, though.
That's 2009. I said from 2006 to 2008. That wasn't part of the question. You can't change the parameters of the question just because you got
it
so horribly wrong.
I needed to suit my answer better.
Oh, please. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones. Say hello to Len in Maryland. Len, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you,
Len? How are you doing,
Len? Good. That's a shocking stat that you just brought up about number of people left. It's not where I wanted to go with the conversation, but let's start there. That's just shocking. Now, I don't know whether that means the draft is important or the draft isn't important.
Well, Len, the thing about it, I know, only four players, but in those years, you had a lot of players from the 2008 class help you win your second Super Bowl in Kenny Phillips and Mario Manningham, and you had in 2007 a bunch of guys that helped you win your first Super Bowl. You know, frankly, it's injuries more so than anything else that really hurt those draft classes.
And if you want to even be broader than that, you could say life in the NFL doesn't last very long.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, I mean, they just don't hang around. I mean, it's almost like your college career. If you're a fifth-year senior, your college career could be longer than your pro career. You know, I mean, it's just astonishing how quickly these teams turn over. Not just the Giants. Brewer and Austin are the two guys you got to worry about. I mean, it's a second round pick and a fourth round pick, and I think the Giants had high hopes for both. I think it would be very disappointing if those two guys don't contribute something this year or show that they can't contribute something in the future. I was thinking maybe Brewer was the guy who was going to, be our right tackle next year. But
and he could.
I'm not sure.
He could.
Yeah, he could. I mean, he still could. I think this is not a new idea, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. I think it all starts up front. It starts with the lines. I think that's why they call it a line. You know, you got to win the line. You got to protect your side, and you got to penetrate from the other side. And it just makes too much sense this year not to think that it's going to be a lineman, either a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. Somebody will slide down. I think we're going to get a good player at 19. Of course, you and I could probably, and any of the callers could probably pick somebody at 19. It's really, as the previous caller said, it's that second, third, fourth, fifth round where it really becomes important to get good football players. Hey, one last thing. It was great to hear from Victor in Texas and that he's yesterday, and that he's he's well. And wish him well in his new endeavor. He was has been a great caller over the years.
No question.
Wondering what happened to him. And it sounds like he's okay and just kind of playing out his career there in the service.
No question.
So, less than 36 hours to go.
Are you still on the Sylvester Williams bandwagon, Len, or what?
Yeah. Listen,
okay.
I would not have a problem at all. And, boy, you were right yesterday, John, when you said Sylvester is moving up the charts. He is indeed. I've been kind of playing around on the internet, and this guy has moved from low first round, well into the 20s. I wouldn't be surprised now if this guy goes 13, 14, 15. I hope he slides to us. I think he's the guy. You know, I've been saying that since February. And let's see what happens. But it's going to be a good player. Again, at 19, we're going to get somebody who's going to contribute. And like everybody else, I'd like to be right. So I hope they pick Sylvester.
Appreciate it, Len.
Right, listen, I'll be listening tomorrow. I'm getting excited about this draft. I mean, this is where we get the talent for the future. Here's our stars coming up on board tomorrow.
Thanks, Len.
Okay, guys.
All right, Len.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks
Appreciate
for taking
it.
The...
Len always looking for stars. I wonder if he's
also
been watching
in the entertainment world.
He's been like watching The Voice, or maybe
we should have asked him.
We
or maybe he caught Jennifer Lopez's next new project.
What's she doing?
Well, during the regular season, we talked about the movie that had come out at that time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Len was very excited. About
he was excited about
sitting on the rocking chair down in the Baltimore area. He painted the scene very vividly for all of our listeners. So we're going to have to work on a new thing. See, we're going to have to find something else to move on regarding Ramsey's Barden. Len will have to get caught up on his activities. This is all the laundry list that's building for the upcoming regular season.
A lot to do.
And speaking of Sylvester Williams, I just wanted to throw out the Cowboys, another team that could have similar interest in a guy like that. That's why it is going to be very interesting to see what direction Dallas goes in, because I think Dallas could take a corner. Dallas could take a defensive tackle.
I don't know if Dallas is taking a corner.
Or a corner slash safety.
I could see them taking Kenny Vaccaro.
Both positions.
Right.
And I know Jerry Jones is very high on him because he's a local product.
Yeah, Jerry Jones lets things other than football sometimes cloud his
yes.
judgment, it would seem.
Giants fans know that very well.
Loves guys from Texas, loves guys from Oklahoma especially. That was his alma mater, so.
That doesn't necessarily always win you football games.
No, as been evidenced by the Dallas Cowboys over the past 10 years or so. But I do think that's interesting. Do you believe that a linebacker is graded high enough where the Giants would take him in the first round? I don't.
I don't either, especially a middle linebacker. You know, because if I look at the Giants right now, don't you feel they need a guy in the middle, regardless of bringing in Dan Connor?
I think Dan Connor can be a two-down linebacker for you, and you'll be fine. I think if he's your first and second down run-stopping middle linebacker, I think you're okay.
But in terms of big picture,
okay,
past, let's say, 2 years, is Dan Connor still your answer long-term at that spot? And if he's not, what happens if Mark Herzlich doesn't progress enough this offseason where you feel he can fill that void?
I mean, I think you can get away with Dan Connor at middle linebacker. I'm just not sure he's that dynamic playmaking middle linebacker that you necessarily would like and want at that position. So I think that's where you run into the issue with Dan Connor. So as a middle linebacker on the board, sure. But I think your traditional strong side linebacker is someone you'd look for too, especially if you're going to put Mathias Kiwanuka, at defensive end. You need to find the third linebacker. Right now you have two. You have Dan Connor, you have Jaquan Williams, and you have a bunch of guys who haven't proven anything. So you're going to have to figure out who you're playing at that strong side linebacker spot.
And I think there's some names out there, but does that name fit the need for the Giants, meaning day one, day two, can they come in and make an impact as an every down linebacker that can sustain at that level for 16 games?
To me, the only guy that makes sense in the first round based simply on how he plays and his athleticism based on how the Giants draft is Ogletree. It's the only guy to me that makes any sense there.
Jarvis Ogletree a lot too.
Or maybe Jarvis Jones if
I
he happens
he'll
to drop.
The board by then, though.
Well, a lot of people are scared with the stenosis thing with the spine and all those other issues. But again, he's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, so I'm not sure he even fits into what the Giants like to do anyway.
And there are some red flags regarding Ogletree too.
Right.
Not necessarily health conditions, but some off the field issues.
Yeah, DUIs and all that sort of stuff.
The maturity factor.
So the Giants have taken risks on guys like that before, though. You go back to Mario Manningham, you go back to Jerron Hosley, even Ahmad Bradshaw. And the Giants believe they have a structure here where they can teach those young men how to act like men and be adults and not make those types of same mistakes. So I don't think that will scare them off necessarily. And I just think in the NFL, there's less of a priority on linebackers now. I think it's a secondary defensive line league. I don't think linebackers are as important to teams as, say, defensive linemen or secondary guys are.
And I also go back to the Giants' track record, John. Last time they took a linebacker in the first round is a guy that we all work very closely with here at the Giants.
You work very closely with Carl Banks?
I said we all. I made a very big generic statement there.
Did.
Notice that. Did not make any specific statements. Made it very general. Read into it as you wish. Well, we all know that you work very closely, so you would fit well into that.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Well, maybe there's others that work very closely.
Sure there are.
So there
you
go.
But you would not be one of them.
Well, I didn't necessarily say I was including myself in that statement.
We all, I believe, is inclusive.
We speak for Giants Nation.
Go back to our phones.
I think that would be a great
David Rochester. Dave, what's going on, pal?
Fellas, good morning. Lance, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. How's everything?
Good, good. Hey, Johnny, I just wanted to make a little comment. I noticed on the video Mike Eisen's got these new glasses. He looks good.
Mike Eisen actually Mike Eisen had a big appointment with the eye doctor. I believe it was last Thursday. He got some new spectacles, and he can see again, which is good for everybody. Or of course, not good for him, because now he can actually see me, which nobody wants to do. But, you know, Eisen is ready to roll. He's psyched for the draft. He's going to be in the war room on draft day, which is very exciting. And it'll be a good time on Thursday night.
Cool, cool. With those new specs, it kind of reminds me of a cross between Jessica Tandy and Jeff Foxworthy.
Jessica Tandy.
That's some mix.
Nothing? I got nothing on that one, sorry.
Well, honestly, Dave, I didn't think Jeff Foxworthy wore glasses.
I know, that's all I had. I'm sorry.
Hey, Dave, that's subpar. Sorry.
But it's all right. Hey, but talking about players and their particular situations, the Post is reporting Fluker and his tweeting situation. I wanted to get your comment on that. The story seems to be relatively new, and it seems hasn't made it to mainstream ESPN yet or not, but it's a serious offense if this is true, of him taking money from Alabama, I think it is.
Well, I'll put it this way. I mean, I don't know if his account was hacked or not. For those of you out there that don't know this story, DJ Fluker sent out a tweet yesterday, at least from his Twitter account, that insinuated that he received some illegal cash when he was at Alabama, which, I mean, let's be honest for a second. I don't think anybody would ever be surprised to hear that any college player at any university was part of some type of undue recruiting thing. That's just what happens in college sports. It happens everywhere. And to think it doesn't happen at Alabama, considering they've won so many national championships, is probably being naive. Now, I don't know if he was hacked or not, but quite frankly, why should the Giants care if DJ Fluker took money in college? I realize that it's an off-the-field character issue, but trust me. I mean, there are enough guys around this NFL that took plenty of money in college that nobody knows about, and nobody cares as long as they produce on the NFL level.
I was just thinking maybe something that they might investigate or come up later in his career and might get him. Kind of like the Reggie Bush situation with the Heisman Trophy kind of thing. So,
yeah, but, Dave, at the end of the day, did Reggie Bush's performance on the field get impacted by some of the off-the-field issues that came to light from his USC days? So, I mean, I understand what you're bringing up. I just don't think, even if this becomes a big issue down the road and the Giants do take him, as long as the Giants have a structure in place, which they have shown over the last couple of years, that they can get guys focused on football, I don't think it's going to develop into a big issue, whether it be now or whether it be 5 years from now.
Right. All right, I just wasn't sure if there's some ramifications that might develop later, or legal issues or whatever. So, all right, guys. Hey, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, pal. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And I don't think teams really get bothered by that sort of thing.
Marvin Austin had some issues in terms of days at North Carolina, and didn't necessarily impact his performance on the field. I mean, I know Giants fans are still waiting for him to remain healthy and make an impact on the field, but, there's a lot of guys that have had some issues in college and have been able to put that behind them. Could there very well be an investigation by the NCAA? Of course. But to determine how that's going to impact DJ Fluker's ability on the field, I mean, that's all speculation at this point.
And I don't think that, and I think what Giant fans might hope for is that, maybe teams will scared of DJ Fluker and his bad character. Maybe he'll drop to the Giants at 19. We like that. I don't think this will matter one iota when we get the draft day on Thursday. Nobody's going to care.
Same thing with Tao. How is the off-the-field issues going to impact him? Will he fall tremendously?
I don't think, if he does fall, I don't think it's going to be because of the off-the-field stuff. I think it's going to be because of his bad 40 time and his general lack of size and athleticism.
And from what I read and from what I've heard, I think he did pretty good in most of his one-on-one interviews with GMs and other front-office
Better than
executives.
Good from what I've read.
Yeah. So that should have helped his cause. But at the end of the day, it's not about what type of person he is off the field. It's about whether or not he can hit the line and make tackles.
True. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's go to Lawrence down in Florida. Lawrence, what's going on, pal? How are you?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling, Lawrence.
I just want to give my dark horse prediction for the draft.
Yeah, go
no
ahead.
No one's talked about Detone Jones from UCLA. Defensive end. It just looks like a tough guy. And the Giants, I think they need some tough guys that don't take any baloney there on the line.
Well, I agree, Lawrence. I do think the Giants need some toughness to help stop the run on that defensive line. I think that's something they're going to look at as this draft moves ahead here on Thursday. But I think, based on what I've read about him, I think 19 might be a little bit early for Jones.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I remember Harry Carson one time, he was playing, and before the half he got carried out on a stretcher, and the second half he still came back. I couldn't believe it.
Well,
but
what? Guys from the 80s, a little bit tougher than
Times
I think the breed of the guy that plays the game today. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. But anyway, that's my dark horse.
No, I like it. Good pick.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for calling, Lawrence. We appreciate it. And I think that if you're going to pick a dark horse, I don't think that's a bad guy to take.
And I think if the Giants do go the route, John, of a defensive lineman, it probably would serve them well if they can get a player that they can move around. And what I mean by that is a guy that has experience playing as a defensive end, perhaps a linebacker, and even a defensive tackle. Because the way the Giants system works, and based on the holes that they're going to have heading into training camp, they can use sort of a jack-of-all-trades type of guy, especially when you take into consideration Kiwanuka is going to move back to the line. So he has some versatility, but the goal this season is to keep him primarily on the line. You brought in Cullen Jenkins. He can play both defensive end and defensive tackle. You have Sean Rogers. You're hoping Marcus Kuhn comes back healthy. If they can have a guy that's been in the 4-3 and been in the 3-4 who can maybe play at the second layer and also down on the line, that would be a guy that I would take my chances with at 19.
And Jones is a guy that can play left defensive end. He can play a little defensive tackle as long as you're not asking him to play that, over-the-nose tackle, that three technique. So he's a guy that I think would be versatile in that sort of area, but he's not also, I think, the super athletic pass rusher that the Giants like to try to get at defensive end. I think one of the guys that could be a great fit is Tank Carradine out of Florida State, who I know is coming off that knee injury, but he has all the athleticism, all the size, all the speed that the Giants want out of their defensive linemen. And I think that'd be a good pick. Or his teammate Bjorn Werner, I think, could be a good selection as well.
Werner, I think, is a real tremendous talent. Also has that Germany tie, like a Marcus Kuhn. But I think he's a great pass rusher. He showed that in college. And remember, this is a guy that hasn't been playing football too long.
And he's a two-way player, too. He can rush the passer, but he can also stop the run. To me, he's the ideal replacement for Justin Tuck if the Giants decide not to bring him back when his contract is up at the end of the year.
And I like the system he comes from, too, in which they place a heavy emphasis on the pass rush. I think his transition, if he were to come from Florida State to go to the Giants, would probably be a very smooth transition, given the amount of experience that he's gained.
201-939-4513. Ed's down in Maryland. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
I was listening to the interviews from Alec Ogletree, and there's been a lot of talk about him coming to the Giants, but I just don't see him as a Giant type of player with his off-the-field baggage. And I just want to hear your guys' take on him. Do you think he's a fit for the Giants? Because I'm just not seeing it. I think Tayo is a better fit. And if you study Arthur Brown, the linebacker from Kansas State, I think I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be one of the studs linebackers in his class. So if you study those guys, can you just talk about them and tell me, you know, if you feel they're for the Giants at 19 or in the second round?
I think Ogletree is the best player out of the three of those guys, and I don't think it's very close, to be honest with you. I think as an on-the-field guy, Ogletree, if not for the stuff off the field, would probably be a top 15 pick, maybe even top 10. I think he's that good of an athlete. I think the off-the-field stuff scares off a lot of teams. I don't think it really scares the Giants that much. Again, they've taken chances on guys with those types of issues, like a Bradshaw, like a Manningham, like a Hosley. And they've managed to turn these guys into mature men, and they've been very productive on the football field. I don't think Taylor's a good fit at all. You look at Jerry Reese's drafting history. He drafts athletic guys that are long, that have high upside, and I don't think Tao is one of those guys. Finally, Arthur Brown out of Kansas State. I think he's going to be the best linebacker off the board in the second round. I think he's probably the next best linebacker, in my opinion, after Ogletree in the draft. If I was to pick a guy after Ogletree, I would pick Arthur Brown. I've heard a lot of good things. You know, he's short. That scares people. Doesn't necessarily scare me. So I like all three of those guys, but I don't think any one of those three will be available to the Giants with their second-round pick, and I don't like any of those three as a first-round pick for the Giants either.
All right, that's true. But with Jerry Reese, though, he normally takes guys with the characteristics that slip. And I've been hearing some things about Ogletree possibly falling out the first round. And I think that's possible because I'm just not sure about the guy. I think he might be one of those people that actually, you know, soon as he gets drafted, has some more off-field issues. And with Arthur Brown, he's about 6'5", 240. That's about the same size as Patrick Willis and Evar Bowman. And he has about the same type of gameplay style. So I'm thinking the Giants should possibly trade down maybe late first round and take him because he's an instant starter to me. And I just really like him a lot. And I think he's a type of clean character guy the Giants like. You know, I don't think that we will reach in a first round for a player with baggage. And as far as Taylor, though, you're right, though. The Giants always like to get the guys that got the measurables, height, weight, speed. And Taylor with his 4.7 speed, he just doesn't fit Jerry Reese's, track as far as taking those type of guys. And another thing with the guards, too, I'm hearing like a lot of talk about Terrence Womack. I just don't see us taking a guard at pick 19, especially just going off of what we just talked about. Womack ran like a 5.5. And, you know, really isn't the type of athlete the Giants like. So what do you think about the Giants taking the guard possibly? I just don't see it happening.
I think Womack's going to be off the board by the time the Giants get to 19. I would really be surprised if he's still around there. I mean, I know the other guy is Jonathan Cooper out of North Carolina. He's the other guard that's been getting a lot of attention. I think both of them will be gone by 19. I think there's going to be a very big run, Ed, on offensive linemen in the early stages of this draft. And the Giants, when they get to 19, will have to determine, is there still perhaps a tackle or a guard that they think is worthy at that value, or will somebody fall to them at the second round if they choose not to trade down? And that will then dictate the Giants perhaps going the route of a defensive lineman or a linebacker. But I don't think the Giants are going to be in a position to draft a Cooper or draft a Warmack. Regardless of whether you like what they bring to the table from an athletic standpoint, I don't think it's going to be basically a non-issue for the Giants at that point.
Yeah, true. I mean, they're both good players, but as a guard and with all the needs that we have, I don't see a guard coming the right way and starting. And then also, Tank carried me from Florida State. He's a nice talent, though. I seen his workout yesterday. He's about 6'4", 275, ran a 4.75, and had like 32 reps. I think he'll be the perfect base left end to replace Justin Tuck if Justin Tuck doesn't get his gameplay back. But then again, I don't see us taking end that's missed most of last year's season in college because of ACL. I don't see us taking him in the first round. But then again, I don't see him falling to us in the second round.
No, so definitely not.
Well, you know, like right there in the middle of like the dead man spot, you know, there's going to be some nice players there. But I think we might have to reach for a player just based off the need. Not only off the need, but just reach for a player that's a good player but might go early second round, but we won't be there to take him. So it'll be probably best to trade down late first round to take him, or just take him there at 19 instead of gambling and thinking that he's going to be there second round pick. And I hear there's a lot of pass rushes coming out to this draft, but I'm still kind of hoping that if we don't land that third pass rusher that we can get Freeney at a cheaper rate after the draft, but that's to be talked about later. I'm just really looking forward to this draft, and once again, you guys mark it down. Arthur Brown will be a Pro Bowl linebacker. Hopefully, the Giants can get him.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
You have a good one, man. And I think Arthur Brown will be a good player, but he's a smaller guy. I don't think he's a middle linebacker in the NFL. I think he's more of an outside linebacker, to be honest with you. But we'll see. And I think he's right, though. I think the Giants are in a bit of a no-man's land in that first round.
And that's why I think the Giants right now are going to enter the draft. They obviously have a game plan. But then they're going to see the first 10 picks, and then all of a sudden things may start to change, and they may want to get on the phone and trade down. If they want a guy, for example, like a Brown, and you don't want to reach for him at 19, but you think you could get to him maybe within the first 5 or 6 picks of the second round.
Or even at 29 or 30 in the first.
So then maybe you move down. You know, because it's better suited for you to take him at that spot.
But you need a willing partner. You can't just trade down. You can't just take the 28th pick from somebody. Somebody's going to want to have to move up and target a player at your spot. That's the trick.
And I would think the trend heading into this draft, John, is most teams want to move down as opposed to move up this year. So that's a challenging aspect.
It is a challenging aspect. All right, big picture draft stuff, and we'll give our predictions on who the Giants draft in a second. But big picture draft stuff, Lance. When do you think the first quarterback will be off the board, and when do you think the second quarterback will be off the board?
Based on what I'm reading and what I'm hearing, and I probably wouldn't have thought this last week, I'm probably going to say the Buffalo Bills are going to take the first quarterback.
Are you buying these reports?
I am buying the reports because the ties are pretty strong.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Syracuse reunion in Buffalo.
I know. It seems too easy to me.
They're in need of a quarterback, John. I'm not saying he's the answer. But they are in need of a quarterback.
Who'd they bring in?
They have Tavares Jackson.
Right.
And they have Kevin Cobb.
Kevin Cobb, that's what I was trying to think.
The question is that a long-term answer? It's not about does Cobb and Jackson buy you time
for a year or two. Of course not.
You need a quarterback so that you can stop this revolving door at that position.
Yeah, but if you reach for a guy that's not worth your pick in the first round, that he's not a true franchise quarterback, but you have to commit to him like he is, that could set your franchise back another 3 or 4
years.
And
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The other concern I have is you're drafting a quarterback because your new head coach and offensive coordinator are running that system. What happens if in 2 to 3 years the Doug Marrone era comes to a halt? And you bring in a new coach, you're left with a quarterback potentially that is used to running a system that may not be in place in 3 or 4 years down the road. That's a big risk to make right now with that 8th pick.
Will Eddie Lacy go in the first round?
No, I think the running back run is over in the first round. I think that's going to be a long-term trend, to be honest with you.
First skill position player off the board.
That's a very good question. First skilled position.
I'm going to go with Tavon Austin.
I was going to lean towards him, but some of the off-the-field issues are also a concern him, too.
And I think the second guy off the board, and I think they'll be very close to each other, is going to be Eifert, the tight end of Notre Dame. I think he's the second guy. And he might even go ahead of Austin at this point.
Well, the two teams that I know have an interest in a tight end. You have the Cleveland Browns, who are fairly early.
That's way too early.
I would agree. Oof. And then you have the Chicago Bears, supposedly with Tressman now, but they just brought in Martellus Bennett.
How about the Jets? Got to replace Dustin Keller.
I still think I think the Jets have bigger needs. They need a pass rush.
The Jets need somebody that can make a play on offense.
Well, that goes without saying.
The Jets need a lot.
I was going to be kind of kind regarding that.
The Jets need a lot, and they need help on offense. I mean, they need to give their quarterback some assistance here.
So you start with a tight end?
If there's nobody else, if he's the best skill position guy there, and he's a highly rated player, he's a two-way player, he can block, he can catch. You know, they think he's a Rob Gronkowski type of franchise tight end.
To be honest with you, if I'm the Jets, I take Geno Smith and Austin. And I see if you can run the table with two guys that know each other.
You just said they need a pass rusher. Now you're taking a quarterback and a receiver.
Well, no,
make up your mind.
Well, I told you, they have needs all across the board.
Correct.
I think they desperately need a pass rush. But if you're in a position at 9-13.
You might as well hire their head coach then, too. Why don't
you do
that?
You might as well. Dana Holgorsen. He may be available.
Wow, you dropped the name. I like that. Good job.
We do our research with the Mountaineers.
Good job.
Read into that as you wish. But getting back to the West Virginia theme, they need, like you said, some continuity and some spark on offense. So if you feel that you can get a future quarterback and then the quarterback has great camaraderie with the wide receiver, I say run the table. Jets have nothing to lose at this point. That's the direction that I would go, unless there's a pass rusher. I know Mingo out of LSU is a guy they're interested in.
Barkevious.
I'd let you pronounce the first
name.
It's
a nice name. I like it. Barkevious Mingo. He sounds like a villain from like a Harry Potter movie or something like that.
So that'll fit right in with Rex Ryan's theme.
Vlad Dukas. Him and Vlad Dukas can like try to menace people.
Boy, that is going to be a mouthful next year if that's the case. I tell you, that'll be interesting to get through.
All right, those are two things. Let's talk about the division teams. Redskins, no first-round pick. They lost in the RG3 trade last year. I'm sure they're still quite happy about that deal, by the way. Where do you think the Eagles go with their first-round pick? You think they pick a tackle?
The Eagles certainly need some help, and Lane Johnson's a guy that potentially they could go towards because I think he's a good fit for Chip Kelly's system.
I agree, too.
They need a mobile guy.
An athletic guy.
That, I think, could be need number one. I'm going to throw out Deion Jordan, similar to the Syracuse-West Virginia connection. Chip Kelly knows him very well from his days with the Ducks. Perhaps they go that route. Remember, the wide nine scheme is no longer in place. It's a revamped defense.
Tight
Chip
five
Kelly's
now, right? Is that what
they're
calling
it? Is that what they are?
I'm making it up. I don't know.
Well, look at you, man. That's decent material.
I actually sold you
on
that.
Working on some new stuff. I'm impressed. Wow. So it's quite early in the game, but you're throwing it out there.
Doing what
we'll
can.
We'll see if it sticks.
And how about Dallas at 18? I mean, if they have an offensive lineman on the board, I think they have to take him there.
They are in desperate need of an offensive lineman. And we're talking all across the board, from left tackle to right tackle to guard to center.
I think they're pretty happy with their left tackle. I don't think Teron Smith is a problem.
Young guy, still has time to develop, but they've had injuries at almost every position at the offensive
line.
Every
other offensive line position is up for grabs.
It can't hurt them, and safety is a need. We threw out that earlier.
And defensive line, I think they have to get a little younger. Ratliff and Hatcher are both up there in age.
And then on offense, do you want to add another wide receiver? Perhaps, are you sold that Miles Austin is going to get through an entire season? I don't know if they're going to reach for that in the first round.
I think with the money you have dedicated to Miles Austin, you have to assume he's going to try to do it here. Otherwise, you would have cut him.
They also could use another running back, I'd even throw out there.
Well, I think in the middle rounds, I think the Cowboys will definitely select that running back. I agree with you.
There's needs all across the board for the Cowboys. But if we're just going to look at the first round pick, John, I would say a player in the secondary or an offensive lineman.
Couple other big picture things. How many offensive linemen go in the first? I'm going to take the Cowboys out of the mix here. The first 17 picks, how many offensive linemen are off the board?
I think six.
You think Fluker goes before the Cowboys pick at 18?
Would not be surprised.
Interesting. Okay. That would really be bad news.
I think there's going to be a
big Giants
run.
And the Cowboys, for that matter. That seems to be the theme here as people prepare for this draft. Whether or not it's true, who knows?
Well, if the Eagles take Johnson, we expect the first two picks very well could be offensive linemen.
At least two out of the first three, right.
With Fisher and Jokel.
Yeah.
That number is going to increase as you get down the wire.
Okay. Interesting. I don't disagree. Let's go through some of these tweets here.
Sure.
Hashtag Giants chat. Our buddy Mike Farmer, who now sports the old Seattle Supersonics logo.
I noticed that. He's been changing up the images.
And speaking of which, they haven't made that decision yet of who's going to get the Kings, if the Sacramento bid's going to get or the Seattle bid, right? If they have a legitimate bid to keep the team in Sacramento, they should really keep the team in Sacramento. and find another team to go to Seattle.
Here's the bigger question.
Send New Orleans or Charlotte there. Nobody goes to those games anyway.
Will that issue be solved before the 19th pick tomorrow?
No.
No. So it's still going to be an ongoing issue.
Yes.
With the Sacramento Kings, Seattle Supersonics, the revival. We're not going to know an answer to that situation.
Are you, like, on
pins
and
wondering.
Needles here?
Well, I am anxious to see when they decide on all of that.
Anyway, Mr. Sonics Mike Farmer wants to know, or he believes the Giants should take Larry Warford in the second round. I think he would be a good guard that the Giants could get. If they don't get an offensive lineman in that first round, I think he could be a good guard to pick in that second round and could, you know, maybe not start this year, but at least start next year for the Giants if they decide to go in that direction. Kyle Long's another guy, a versatile offensive lineman. To me, he's kind of like a baby David Deal. He can play all the spots and good athlete, tall, 6'7", so he can play tackle if he has to. I think that would be a good second-round direction for the Giants.
Well,
too.
The Giants are going to have to see if they miss out on the must-have guy potentially at number 19, meaning a guy that they think they could bring in and he can start from day one or have a big impact. Do you even need to grab one in the second round, or do you follow the script last season where you maybe wait till you get to 5 or 6 and take a chance on a guy who meets the needs that you just laid out, John, can play tackle, can play guard, and perhaps provide some additional competition to the Mosleys and the McCants of the world?
Marcus Erickson wants to draft a top two guard in the first, if they're there, which I think is a worthy goal. Don't think it's going to happen. And then he wants to draft former discus thrower Margus Hunt in the second round or Lawrence Okoye. Marcus Erickson also chips in. He wants the Giants to draft somebody named Rivers. So
I
continue to
yes.
get confused between – I keep calling Keith Rivers Philip Rivers for some reason. This whole offseason, I can't stop. It just comes out.
I mean, I could see the fact that those two are so similar in terms of appearance and position that it's very easy to mix them up.
Our buddy Jack Thompson wants to go Vaccaro or Ogletree. I don't think either of those would be bad selections, to be honest with you. Raheem Semper wants the Giants to go middle linebacker, and he wants to draft Teo, which is something that I don't believe is quite as popular with Giant fans. Katie Bleed Blue. That's tough to say, Bleed Blue.
That's
not easy. He wants to pick the best available, wants to take Warner or Carradine. And then Mike Farmer, with a Giants pick, a good player will fall there in round one. Will we like him enough to pull the trigger? Well, Mike, they're going to have to. If they don't have a trade partner, they're going to have to pull the trigger on who they think is the best player there, and they're not going to have much of a choice.
Marcus Erickson, by the way, in depth, went position by position for the first four picks of where the Giants are going to go. He says round one, offensive lineman, round two, defensive end, third round, they go corner, fourth round, linebacker. That is Marcus Erickson's predictions for the first four.
Kunal Shah wants a dark horse, an inside linebacker for Arthur Brown.
Like Ed from Maryland.
At Lou NYG with a nice big Knicks logo as his Twitter picture, which I'm
You're
of course
a
fan
of his.
I'm a huge fan. He believes that the Giants never take they do take character issue guys, mind you, but not with first round picks. Which, thinking about it, he might actually be right about that. Not a bad point. And then our good buddy Marwan Ali, he likes Kyle Long, and he does not. He also is like you, does not believe DJ Fluker will be there when the Giants pick at 18. So there you go.
Big run on offensive linemen, mark my words. And that's going to shake up the decisions for the teams that pick within the 12th through the 17th selections. And then, obviously, the Giants will see what happens with those five picks to determine what route they want to take. But, listen, the Giants at the end of the day, as Jerry Reese laid out, best athlete, best player overall on the board. That's priority number one. Then it becomes, how do they fit into the system? Those are two big questions that will change as the first couple of picks are made.
Who do the Giants pick with their first-round pick, Lance? Put it down. Give me your prediction. And then I'm going to ask you second round, too, so you better be ready.
I like an offensive lineman based on need. I'm throwing out the philosophy of best athlete. I think right now, if I was to look at the depth chart, I think the Giants should bring in an offensive lineman.
Well, give me a name. Who are they drafting in the first round?
Well, the guy that I think would be good would be Fluker.
But you don't think he's going to be there.
That he's going to be there.
Give me
correct.
A name.
Well, there's a lot of guys that I like that are not going to be there. That's why I think things are going to change drastically.
So explain to me what's going to happen when the Giants pick at 19. Come on. Be a big boy. Make a prediction.
the more and more I break this down, honestly, it would not surprise me if they grabbed Ogletree and the drought of a linebacker being taken in the first round. I think they have their eyes targeted on an offensive lineman. I just think by the time they get to 19, maybe the two or three guys that are in consideration are not going to be there, and therefore I don't know if it's worth taking an offensive lineman. So therefore, I think you go to the best athlete, and Ogletree, to me, fits that criteria.
Okay, and for the first round, now you can start thinking about the second round. Take a look. Do some little research. See what you can come up with.
I've looked over my fair share of mock drafts.
It took you a while to come up with that first-round pick, so I want you to be prepared for the second-round pick. All right. First-round pick, I believe the Giants will have two guys targeted when they get to that selection, either Bjorn Werner or his teammate Tank Carradine. And I believe that even if both guys are there, I believe they will go with Carradine because I think he's a better athlete, has more upside despite the injury. ACLs for a defensive lineman, I don't think quite as debilitating as for some other positions. So I am going to go at this point, and I don't think I'm going to change it before tomorrow, to be honest with you. I think because all the offensive linemen will be off the board, as you predict, and I predict as well, I believe they will draft Tank Carradine out of Florida State with their first-round pick.
So you like him over Werner?
I do.
Even if both are available?
I do. I think he's a better athlete, more upside, and I think he's a better pure pass rusher. And for that reason, I think the Giants would go with Tank.
I like both guys, so I think the Giants can't really make a mistake if they're in a position where they can take either or.
I just think the more and more I think about this and look at the players that are going to be there and Jerry Reese's draft history, I think you're going to get a defensive end in round one. That's my feeling.
And that wouldn't be a shocker. But what if Ogletree and both of them are available? You still think they go the route of the Florida State
Ogletree will be there. Teau will be there.
I agree.
Minter will be there. Arthur Brown will be there. Kasim Green will be there. The Giants will not take a linebacker in the first round. Second round, where are they going?
Well, if they follow your direction.
Assume they follow your direction.
Well, if they follow my direction, they're not going to go linebacker in the second round.
Clearly.
But if they follow your direction, I think they will go linebacker in the second round.
Okay.
And if they're fortunate, I could see Brown still potentially being around, even when they pick, if they don't move in the second round.
Okay.
And I know Ed from Maryland is going to be very excited to hear that. If they go the route of a linebacker in round one, and they do grab Ogletree, I'm still not sold that they're necessarily going to go offensive lineman in round two. And the reason I say that is because I think an offensive lineman could fall to them in perhaps round 3, 4, or 5. And I don't know if it's worth taking an offensive lineman in round two.
Well, I think there are some offensive linemen in round two that could be there. Justin Pugh out of Syracuse is a guy that could be there in the middle of round two. Larry Warford, as Mike Farmer on Twitter mentioned, I think could be there. You know, Kyle Long is higher on some people's boards, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could be there in the second round either.
Well, here's a guy like Kyle Long, for example, and yeah. I've seen him all around the board. Could you potentially even maybe get him in the third round?
No, no chance.
You don't think he could fall?
No, he'll be off
the
board.
So he's definitely off the board in round two.
Correct. Yeah, see, my thought is that the Giants will pick that defensive lineman in round one, and I think in the second round they'll pick the best remaining offensive lineman, whether it's, you know, a guy like Long, a guy like Warford, a guy like Pugh, maybe a project offensive tackle, like a guy like Teron Armstead out of Arkansas Pine Bluff, who doesn't have a lot of experience, but he has a lot of upside and has those, you know, feet to be an offensive tackle in the National Football League, maybe even a left tackle. I think that's where the Giants go. I think defensive end, first round, offensive line, second round, and then they'll pick up a corner in round three.
There's some projections that Armstead could go very early, even in round two.
I've seen
he
that.
May even be off the board before the Giants even get to their second round selection.
He could be, sure.
I mean, he's been a guy that's made a name for himself in recent weeks. And
or they could go linebacker. Maybe a Kevin Minter, maybe an Arthur Brown, maybe the kid from Rutgers, the Kasim Green. I think all those guys are possibilities in round two, depending on who's left on the board. Yes. I think they'll have a lot of good options in round two. I think I almost like the Giants' position better in round two than I like in round one.
Well, because I think there's potential for a lot more guys to potentially even drop to them,
right,
depending on what transpires in round number one. But it's probably going to be a flip-flop with that offensive line / best athlete at the linebacker defensive lineman
front
spot.
Seven on defense, right?
That's where I could see round one, round two going. So whatever they take in round one, That means they're going to go opposite round two or vice versa. That's, to me, the plot and the storyline that the Giants are going to follow tomorrow.
Then again, two years ago when the Giants arguably had a much better defensive line than they had now, drafted a defensive end and a defensive tackle in rounds one and two. So you never know. Remember, Linval Joseph is a free agent after this year. You have to make a decision on him.
You have to make decisions not just based on your needs right now heading into training camp, as you just said, John. You have to think past this year. Plus, remember, I mean, I'm not saying that they're concerned at the wide receiver spot, but Akeem Nicks is going to be a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen with Victor Cruz.
Someone finally mentioned his name.
I wasn't
the
going
whole
to get
show
to...
without mentioning
Sorry,
the name.
Sorry, I had to. Well, you opened the door with
I
that
did.
Subject.
I did.
But the wide receiver spot would be another area that maybe you need to protect yourself past this season.
And that's why you can't really draft for need, because you never know where you're going to have a need. And you can use a good player anywhere, generally speaking. So that's why you generally pick the best player. But any other anecdotes or notes or general Lance comments before we say goodbye here? How are you feeling with your Bulls tied with the Nets tied to one game apiece?
Well,
how about
I feel
that?
Much better than I did on Saturday.
Ooh,
after
that
dismal
ugly.
Performance. But
yes.
That's what happens when the other team shoots 56% from the field for the whole game. When that doesn't happen, teams come back down to earth. And you get to see what a team could do from a defensive perspective. Which
How about
showed.
The defensive job your man Kirk Heinrich did on Darren Williams?
What about
me.
Noah with a bad leg making one hustle play after the other? I know you're chomping at the bit. You just wish you could see a little bit out of Tyson Chandler like that.
Hey, Tyson Chandler looked a lot better last night.
He did.
He looked
steps.
A lot better. He's taking baby
steps.
Well, he's only played, two games in a month and a half, so that's
but
okay.
You know, when it's the win-or-go-home mentality, we're looking for strides.
Well, the Knicks are up 2-0, so it's going to take four losses before they're going anywhere. And I think both of us believe that will not happen until probably at minimum the second round and perhaps the Eastern Conference Finals.
You're in very good position to make it to round two. I will leave it at that.
Round two will be
going to go so far.
Assuming the Pacers are going to beat the Atlanta Hawks, that Knicks Pacers second round series will be a 7-game drag-it-out brawl. That will be a fun, fun series.
And the last time Knicks Pacers went 7, we all remember what happened in Madison Square Garden, don't we? 1995.
Are you done?
John still has a poster in his room. You know, I'm going to have to bring that image back.
The only poster I had in my room growing up was one of Starks throwing down on half your Bulls roster.
Horace Grant. It was
I believe Grant, Pippen, and Jordan are all in the poster with Starks.
I believe Michael Jordan was stretching his arms.
Soaring over with his left hand to throw down.
You paint that picture as lovely as you'd like. At the end of the day, the last time I remember, there was a team that walked away with multiple rings.
I have that poster, and then I have the one of Scottie Pippen just horribly
over
fouling Hubert Davis on that three-point shot.
At least you agree. We're in agreement there. The phantom foul, as I like to call
phantom.
It.
Phantom. Yes. It was a mugging.
I thought you had the Pippen stepping over Patrick Ewing. That was also one of my favorite
moments. I do not have that.
That was one of the highlights. good stuff between those two teams. I miss it, actually. I'm hoping basketball could get back to those rivalry days.
And the Knicks and Bulls will not meet in the playoffs unless the Bulls find a way to beat both the Nets and the Miami Heat, which
tall
would be
order.
A very tall order. Unless your man Derrick Rose has managed to come back.
We'll see. You never know. I would say the chances are very slim. But if they get out of round one, maybe mentally his confidence starts to build. Perhaps we may see him out there.
And speaking of which, I don't ever want to hear you have like a bad case of laryngitis and just sit out a full season so that you know you can be better for the next
year. No, I will be fighting it, even if I had laryngitis.
So you're saying you're tougher than Derrick Rose.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Are you kidding me? Nothing keeps me down like that. You could tear my ACL. You could rip off my kneecap. I'll still be out there.
I might do that before this playoff series
I'm not
going to
give you any ideas.
Lance, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll catch up with you either later in the week or sometime next week, all right?
Absolutely. Been fun.
For Lance Meadow, I'm John Spunk. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every day on Giants.com, every weekday at least, from 10 to 10:30. It's all brought to you by Angie Mark. Thanks to the callers. Thanks on Twitter. Thanks to Lance. And we'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m., right here on Giants.com.